This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, this is John Franco, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN New York. Let's go Mets!
Thank you, Johnny, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, June 7th, 2021. Michael K., Peter Rosenberg, Don LeGrec. I can't say we're all apart because Peter and I are actually together. Don had a family situation, so cannot be here at the Silver Springs Country Club in Ridgefield, Connecticut. But Peter and I happen to be together, Don, and he doesn't look any different than he did 14 months ago.
Is that a compliment? Do you take that as a compliment, Peter?
Wait, 14 months. I lost weight since then.
You look the same.
Oh, no. That was, I already started losing weight by then. Yeah, no, that's about right.
Yeah.
You look the same, too. And at your stage in life, advanced stage, you know, you could have looked different. I was kind of nervous that I'd see you. And
really?
I'm like, oh, man, this was not
Walker,
good on him.
The whole thing, yeah. The interesting thing is we're doing the show. It's a charity event. For ESPN and the V Foundation, which we're always happy to do. And we're at a country club. And Peter thought that, I guess, we were going to be indoors. Little did
he know
we'd be sitting in 94-degree searing heat. Don, he has a suit and tie on.
That's right.
And I have white pants and
a
golf shirt on.
But listen, I understand there's a level of ignorance in thinking that it was going to be inside and not outside, right? All right, but now it's been established for at least the first 2 minutes of the show that it's outside.
Right.
And all I see is the top half of Peter, so why can't he take the jacket off, take the tie off, unbutton the top button, make it look like he's just got a shirt on, and now you're dancing where it's 100 degrees with humidity. To still stick with the tie and the jacket, to me, is ridiculous. And even, yes, with their stringent rules, Michael, would not have you in a suit and tie if you were calling a game today.
No, they would.
You would absolutely. You would have the yes polo.
No. The new rule is really bow ties, I think, over 95 degrees.
I strictly adhere to that rule.
Yeah.
He's having fun with us. When it gets over 90 with 100% humidity, he's got the polo.
It was 90 degrees on Friday we wore a suit and tie.
No. Well, then that's a bad job out of Flip. I mean, does Flip not have a thermometer?
It's even higher than Flip. It goes so high.
Well, let me say this. At this exact moment, and it may change, at this exact moment, it's cool. There's a nice little breeze coming in. I'm actually not particularly hot. If that happens, I will take the jacket off.
He's going to pick.
What do you think of this new shirt, by the way? I've never done.
I think the reason you're keeping it on is because it's probably a $2,000 suit and a beautiful shirt and tie, so why not show it off?
You know what? Live a little bit.
All right. Who was the college basketball coach that was flop sweating not too long ago during the tournament?
I don't remember.
Flop sweating? What does that mean?
Well, meaning just
he's so nervous, he's just sweating.
Right. Oh, the whole thing.
This is gonna be like broadcast news about 15 minutes into the show.
No, Peter, everything's going well for Peter. You know, the album's going well, so
things are all looking up for me.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what though, Don. I played golf yesterday.
No,
I've never been closer to.
You gave up. I saw one of your tweets that it should be a 12-hole event.
It should be a 12. It should be a thing where professionals play 18 holes.
Right.
Why do amateurs play? It is such an ungodly long day. I will say to you guys, I enjoy it. I love the sport. But when you say, like, you know, you don't relate to people who play it, at the end of 18, the idea that people would be like, oh, I can't believe the day's over. I could stay out longer. It's psychotic.
You were done. I could tell.
I was done at the turn. And by 13, it was a nightmare.
All right. So enough of the niceties and the frivolities. Uh-huh. We got some serious stuff to take care of today. And we start off with the Yankees pinstripe report brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. What a mess. So if we were going to sit back and say that this week was important to tell us where the Yankees are, well, they're in fourth place. They won 2 and they lost 5 against their 2 division rivals. They are now behind the Blue Jays. and they're 6.5 games out of first place. It's not good. It has not looked good for a while now. They cannot score over 4 runs a game. They do not play clean baseball. They do not run the bases well. And on top of that, you have to have a situation where an umpire misses a call by 0.5 foot in the bottom of the 9th inning with Rougned Odor pinch hitting. And I'm sorry, I tweeted this out last night. I'm not or criticizing the umpires for every loss because there's so much that takes place before the umpire's call and usually so much that takes place after the umpire's call that you can't just blame it on that. But that was inexcusable. That was so inept. And the thing that bothers me, they don't make the umpire available. The umpire is not disciplined. I mean, if you do something so poor in your job, you're going to be called on the carpet. I doubt that he's going to be called on the carpet. And then Phil Nevin, who has a port in his neck because he's got medicine intravenously into his body, he comes out and gets thrown out. Then they throw out Carlos Mendoza, who was the wrong guy because it was Marcus Timms, the hitting coach, that was screaming Fordham University at the umpires, and he didn't even get thrown out. They threw out Carlos Mendoza. And, I mean, what a perfect ending to an absolutely abysmal week for the Yanks. There's so many things to cover about it. We'll get to all of it. But what a mess. 2-5. Split 4 games with Tampa Bay. Get swept by the Red Sox after you'd won 11 straight games over the last couple of years at Yankee Stadium against the Red Sox. You don't even show. The biggest crowd of the year last night. I was there on Saturday night at a great time. But they just don't hit. So if you're going to be bad and you're going to be boring, that is a really bad combination. Now, they have today off, then they'll go to Minnesota. And if you say, who are the two most disappointing teams in baseball? You'd say Minnesota would be first, and now the Yankees are second. So the Yankees better get very, very right with 3 games in Minnesota because Minnesota loses to everybody now. Yankees have to win 3 games. I'm sorry, you have to win 3 games. You have to bounce back from a performance like you had over the weekend by just flexing and beating a team that you're supposed to beat.
Well, I don't know where to begin, Michael, but usually when we get down to criticizing a team that is collapsing and underachieving like this, this is the joy, I think, of a talk show to be able to dissect and start getting into why a team is in the situation that they're in and all that. And in any other sport, there'd be somebody to blame. Who do we blame? Because it'd be easy for me to come on the air and say, all right, fire Boone, fire Cashman. I don't know who to blame here. I know the fans have targeted both, but specifically recently Boone, and you were talking about the called third strike and Odor. How is everybody getting thrown out but him? Honestly, how is everybody getting thrown out but him? A manager is supposed to protect his players, is supposed to protect his assistants. He's got to be the one to get thrown out of that game. But is he to blame for this team being 6.5 games out of first place and just 2 games above 500? Because we go back and forth like a pendulum, Michael. Oh, well, don't blame Boone because there's a fundamental flaw with how this team was built. All right, well, let's blame Cashman. Well, you can't blame Cashman because look at the success the team has had. Well, who do we blame, Michael? Who's got the target on their back? Is it the manager? Because if it's the manager, today would have been the day, right? Day off. You've got a winnable road trip here, so you can give a nice soft landing to the new manager. If it's the manager's fault, today would be the day. If it's the general manager's fault, you know, how often do you see general managers get fired in the middle of the season? Are they going to be able to reboot everything that they've done by bringing in a new general manager? So I don't know how you fix this.
Well, I mean, I thought about this a lot coming in because I knew that callers would probably say, well, who gets blamed? And I'm sorry, the guy who gets blamed for this is Brian. And you know, for the longest time, I'm a big Brian fan. And just because I think this is his fault, that doesn't mean that I'm not a big Brian fan. This team is poorly put together. They're very limited in what they could do. There doesn't seem to be any kind of balance in the lineup whatsoever. We've had callers for the longest time, why don't they have lefty batters in the lineup? It's criminal that they don't. And when you've got a bullpen full of right-handers like the Red Sox do and like the Tampa Bay Rays do, you don't match up with them because you have no balance whatsoever in your lineup. You have lanes that a manager could bring in a righty and just get you out. So usually a manager gets banged at a time like this. But I will tell you this, if Brian would fire Aaron Boone right now, he'd be the biggest hypocrite of all time. Aaron Boone is executing his vision, Brian's vision, and his front office's vision, and working with the tools that Brian gave him. Now, the fact that Aaron Boone didn't get thrown out yesterday, I have no problem with that. This guy's been thrown out more than any manager in baseball. Just early this week, he had veins popping out of his neck and got thrown out. Maybe he just felt that he was trying to exude some calm to his team so they wouldn't panic, and then Phil Nevin got thrown out. I mean, if he had got thrown out on top of Nevin and Mendoza, they wouldn't have anybody managing. They'd have the catching coach come out and play coach at first base and have the first base coach, Reggie Willits, go out and do the third base coach in the bottom of the extra inning. So I don't blame Boone for that. I know a lot of people jumped on him for that. But the bottom line is this team is poorly constructed. They're a one-way ticket. We've always said that the only way the Yankees win is when they hit home runs. They are not hitting home runs. They don't know how to create runs. They don't know how to play small ball. You saw what the Red Sox did yesterday. Some of their best players, they would just hit a ground ball to the right side, move the guy from second to third, sack fly. That's not in the Yankee bag of tricks. I don't understand why. They're all up there. All they do is strike out or hit home runs, and the home runs they hit are usually solo shots, and that's why they are where they are, Peter. Right.
So tell me how we move forward here, because when we talked about this Friday, you essentially said that on this team, we do not have a lineup of players that are capable of adjusting and doing what the Red Sox do. At times this year, Judge has been Aaron Judge and has hit the ball. He's in a decent spot right now. Not great, not bad. Stanton has had moments. We had that 11-game period where he was fantastic, but by and large has not been special. So what do you do if you're not able to hit home runs and you're not able to play small ball?
You probably don't make the playoffs. If you don't start hitting home runs soon, you probably don't make the playoffs. That's all there is to it. So we'll have Buster only on a little bit later on. And they're going to start cracking down on sticky stuff for pitchers. And maybe the pitchers will come down a little bit and the Yankees could start hitting home runs again. But maybe it would also adversely affect Yankee pitchers.
Well, how big of a factor are people saying that is right now?
Huge.
Can you give me more details on what sticky stuff is?
Sticky stuff is you put illegal substances on your hand so that it creates friction of the ball coming off your hand and gives you more revolutions. The more revolutions that you have on the baseball, the more it moves, the more it stays up rather than goes down. It's very, very tough for hitters to hit. Great breaking balls as well. You almost become unhittable. And now they're saying that pitchers have so much sticky stuff on their hands that last year when there wasn't anybody in the ballpark and a guy released the ball, you ever rip open Velcro?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like coming off pitchers' hands.
Oh, okay, because there was no crowd noise.
There's no crowd noise, so you go like that.
Wow.
And they're going to crack down on that. And even the union is in on it because the players, the hitters on the union are going, we can't have this. We can't strike out 250 times a year. And we're doing this not because we can't hit, but these guys are putting illegal substances. And then Josh Donaldson comes out and said, well, isn't it funny that four pitchers in the minor leagues got suspended last week because they cracked down because of sticky stuff. And then the next time out, Gerrit Cole had low revolutions on his pitches. So, I mean, if they're going to start, like, directing it toward Gerrit Cole, that'll hurt the Yankees, too, if Gerrit Cole is successful at such a high level because of sticky stuff.
But here's the thing, Michael. That doesn't solve all your problems because everybody's going through this, and yet the Yankees are still on the lower end of the offense. So if everything goes up, doesn't necessarily – the Yankees will score more runs. The Yankees will be a better offensive team. But the teams that are better than them offensively, all those teams will also be better. So you're still stuck where you are.
But here's the difference, though. The Yankees are a home run hitting team. Other teams have other ways to score. So that's why you're in a situation where the Yankees would benefit if all of a sudden they start hitting home run.
Well, the other day against the Red Sox, they struck out 15 times. So you're going to still strike out. You know, because they're still trying to hit home runs. I'm just saying it's all relative to what you're dealing with. So everybody else is going to improve. So maybe they'll improve a little bit. But, Michael, it's a lot. I mean, they're like 100 runs off what they were through 60 games back in 2019. I mean, so
unbelievable.
They're not nearly the team that they have been. So, but the worst nightmare, I think, for Yankee fans. You see, if it was just Boone, you fire Boone, you bring somebody else in. There's been plenty of teams. You know, right now the Montreal Canadiens are a win away from going to the third round. They fired their coach in the middle of the year. It happens. You can change managers. Yankees have won a championship changing managers in the middle of the year. But if it's a fundamental way this team was constructed, Michael, there's not a general manager that can come in here and fix it on the fly.
No,
how
you
do you
can't.
Fix this on the
you
fly? You don't.
You can't. You can't. So here, the only reason you would change a manager, and I'm not advocating for it, this is a business, okay? And I get so many tweets throughout the game. We love you guys. You're great. The broadcast is fun, but I can't watch this anymore. And once the stadium, and I think the next homestand, when they come home, it'll be about 95% capacity. If they can't sell tickets, then they might have to make an optics change where, hey, something's different. We're bringing someone in. But you firing a general manager in the middle of a season is a recipe for giving up on the season. It's a recipe for disaster. You want recipes? A friend of mine who's this unbelievable stats guy, his name is Bill Chuck. That's his name, okay? Mm-hmm. The Yankees lead the majors hitting to 58 double plays. The Rays are last hitting into 27. The Yankees lead the majors hitting into 28 double plays with no outs. The Yankees lead the major leagues hitting to 9 double plays with the bases loaded. They are killing rally after rally. And if you listen to the game or watch the game yesterday on ESPN, A-Rod was teeing off on the Yankees that they just don't play baseball the right way, that they were constructed the wrong way, too many right-handed batters. And, you know, people laughed at me the other day when I said this last week. The loss of Aaron Hicks, who wasn't doing much, okay, but the loss of Aaron Hicks creates so much of a domino effect of negative stuff. He's a switch hitter. Boom. The lineup is balanced out. Right-hander comes in. He's that lefty pothole because he spins around to the left side, and he's still a threat to hit. He's out. Now he's out. So that means that Brett Gardner is your center fielder. He's 37 years old. He's not hitting 200. That's a problem. Now you also have a very fragile lineup. Giancarlo Stanton couldn't play 3 games this week after they rested him on Thursday. Well, we're resting him Thursday hoping he could play 3 games. He played Friday and Saturday, couldn't do anything, and then yesterday pinch hit, and he struck out, and he got booed. Aaron Judge, who's having a tremendous season. He really is. But they have to really be careful and manage him. So they want to keep him off his feet a lot, so they have him DH, and he's been doing very, very well. When you have him DH, then you've got to have Clint Frazier in right field. I don't think he's a good right fielder. You've got to have Andujar in left field. He's not a good left fielder. He's much more comfortable than he was, but he's certainly not Barry Bonds out there. And it creates a lot of moves that Boone can't make. Another one, all right? Let's say you play Aaron Judge in center field. Well, you play Aaron Judge in center field, then he's out of position. The other two guys are out of position. Now, let's say you DH Stanton. Then you have Aaron Judge in right field, so he's got to play in the outfield. That means you have to play Gardner in center. So that means that Andujar or Frazier have to sit out. Guys that should be in the lineup, one of them has to sit out. And one other thing, everybody tiptoes around this. Nobody wants to criticize the guy because he has been unbelievable for the first 2 years as a Yankee. A lot of the blame of what's going on with the Yankees, and it's not because he's not trying, is DJ LeMahieu is having a terrible, terrible year. For the first 2 years of his Yankee career, he had 370 with runners in scoring positions. 370. He was automatic. Now he's in the low 200s. He doesn't hit for any power anymore. He occasionally will get singles. He's hitting under 250. That's not DJ LeMahieu. Everything starts from the top. If LeMahieu is not the player that he was last year when he hit 364, well, he's hitting 100 points lower than that, and the slugging percentage is so far below what he's done in the past. You know, Don, you said, well, what can they do? If he's not going to hit, right, and if Stanton can't play every day, and when he doesn't play every day, he can never get in the hot streak like he was, there is no solution for this.
No.
There's absolutely no solution.
Yeah, listen, we could talk about the manager, we could talk about the general manager, but players have to play to the back of their baseball card. They just have to. And every Yankee fan wanted LeMahieu back. We all thought that that was the thing to do. Remember, there were Yankee fans who said it shouldn't matter how much DJ wants. They should pay him whatever he wants. And this is the season you're getting a guy batting around 250? And you know how it is in baseball, Michael. Those situations always find you. Who ends up coming up when the game's on the line? The guy that raked the last couple of years in those situations. Raked. Now it's almost like he's an automatic out. And the frustration is starting to show on him. So, yeah, the players got to play to the best of their ability. So blame the analytics, blame Brian Cashman, blame Aaron Boone, blame all the people you want. But I'm sorry, you got to get more out of the players that are healthy. And DJ LeMahieu has been such a major part of what this team has been the last couple of years in the regular season, and now is a shell of what he was.
And it seems such an easy... I look at Boone, and I blame him for the way they run the bases. If you want to say that... ...team engaged. You can put all the blame you want on the manager, because as you always say, Don... Well, if you're not going to blame him for that, then why is there a manager? But, okay. There's no buttons for him to push. When you have an engineer in front of a board and none of the buttons work, he cannot make it sound good. So Boone is limited in what he can do right now. And another thing that you're seeing is that the pitching is starting to return to the mean. It's a little bit of a correction. The pitching carried this team. The loss of Kluber is gigantic. Now, all of a sudden, a guy like Lucas Litke, who was unhittable for 2 weeks, he's gotten hit the last couple of times. That's what's going to happen. So you need Britton back in a hurry. It's a mess. I'm telling you, it's a mess. I wish that I could sit here and give you positive stuff, you know, that I'd love to see the Yankees win. It's good for the YES Network, the whole deal. But they're limping to Minnesota today, and I don't have any solutions for you, everybody. I just don't. I mean, it's ugly. It is ugly.
Fans aren't going to want to hear this, Michael, but you're almost stuck in just having to, you know, do what you can with this roster, and then if you're going to make a change, it comes at the end of the season where if you're going to change the general manager and change the way this team is going to go about things, that's an off-season move. And then Boone will get fired in that transition, right? So – if a new general manager comes in, he's going to want to bring in his manager, and you move in a different direction. So you're kind of left right now with just going as is and just hope you can salvage the season. Because what moves are you going to make, Michael? Who are you going to trade here that's going to make things better during this season? Who's going to want Stanton? Who's going to want LeMahieu? Who's going to want Sanchez? There's not a pitcher you can afford to deal because you're going to need every single starting pitcher you possibly can. And the bullpen, too, if you've got any shot – all those guys have to be untouchable. So I don't know what to do.
And so let's say they want to go out and get a center fielder, and there's the name out there is Ketel Marte, who's having a really good season for Arizona, switch hitting, center fielder, just what you need.
Really good point.
But Buster Olney on the broadcast yesterday said, well, the Yankees would have to give a lot up to Arizona, but they'd have to have Arizona pay Marte's salary this year because they will not go over the threshold. So the Yankees have maybe $5 million to play with. So you've got so many areas that you have to improve, and you only have so much money to do it. And if I'm Hal Steinbrenner, I'll go, the way this team is playing, you want me to go over the threshold and lose draft picks and get taxed as well? He's in a little bit of a corner here, and it's not fair to him because he's given them everything that he wanted. And this is the team that they put together. And, you know, you could blame injuries and things like that. All right, the injury to Aaron Hicks is you couldn't have predicted that, although he's hurt all the time, but nobody thought that he was going to miss the entire season. But for the most part, everybody, let's all be honest, this is the team that they put together. Yes, they missed Luke Voit, but this is essentially the team that they put together. Frazier hasn't hit. Gleyber Torres doesn't hit for power anymore, although he had a home run the other day. Rougned Odor strikes out so much. He's had some big hits for them, but he strikes out all the time. DJ LeMahieu is 8 for 40 with runners in scoring position. You know what that is? That's a 200 batting average for a guy who's close to a 400 batting average for the Yankees since he's gotten here. Gary Sanchez, although he's hitting better of late, he still doesn't scare anybody. So all the people that they put there, they're not doing their jobs. So you can't blame it on the injuries to Voit and Hicks. Yeah, those things hurt. But in the past, the Yankees have had injuries and they won 103 games. Nobody has stepped up. Nobody has stepped up. I wish I could give you positive news. I'd love to give you positive news. And I know that if I sat here right now today on this show and I lied to you and I put lipstick on a pig, then why should you even listen when I'm telling you good news? Because if I don't tell you the truth when things are bad, then you shouldn't even believe me when I say things are good. And that's why I always laugh when the Yankee boy stuff gets out. I never lie to you. I never lie to you. This is a untenable situation that they're in now. And if they continue to lose at this rate, whether it's warranted or not, somebody is going to lose their job simply because of the fact you've got to make a change to engage the fans so that they come to the ballpark and watch the games on TV. Because right now, you keep losing like this and you score 3 runs a game, no one's coming.
Is Aaron Judge the only good, consistent, everyday player they have right now?
Aaron Judge has very quietly had a great season. And I think he's played more games than anybody else. Gio Urshela has done well as well. But after that,
that's it, though.
That's
right?
It.
Judge
that's
leads
it.
In every meaningful offensive category.
And the fact is that Judge has about 30 RBIs, and with his numbers, he should have about 50 RBIs. But there aren't people on base. And when there are people on base, people hit a double plays. It's amazing what's happening. It's amazing. And you can ask Anthony. You can ask Anthony back in the studio. When they were going to Detroit and they were playing okay, even though they had swept the White Sox, I said, they're about to go into a little bit of a tailspin because they can't hit. Because pitching can only carry you so far. You cannot expect to get a shutout every single game. And when you keep it's like riding a car and just putting your gas on the foot on the accelerator. You're going to burn the transmission out. And the pitchers are suddenly going to take a step back because every single time they step on the mound, they've got to be great. That's too much high leverage pitch by them, and sooner or later it's going to come back and bite you. So, again, I wish I had better news for you. We'll talk to you, 1-800-919-3776. That's the Yankees Pinstripe Report brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. You know the number, 1-800-919-3776. A lot of stuff to do.
Buster, oh, yeah.
Buster Olney's going to come by later on, and we'll talk to him about, you know, he was there yesterday. He was the only member of the ESPN broadcast team that was there. Matt and A-Rod were back in Bristol, but Buster was at the stadium. I'm sure he found some stuff out, and we'll ask him about the crackdown Major League Baseball is about to have when it comes to the sticky stuff. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO has been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Master the mind of a mastermind, man of God and a man of mine. Hands on like I give massage, how I handle mines. Beast in the safaris on hard to find like I'm Kangaskhan.
This special edition of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Meiomi Wines. Presenting sponsor of today's Victory Over Cancer Classic, benefiting the V Foundation for Cancer Research. We'll take some phone calls. At the end of this segment, the first part of the summer of K will begin.
Oh, I can't. Don?
How's this?
This is very – something's happening, Don.
They were nice enough, the people here at the Country Club, Silver Springs, to deliver us a delicious double cheeseburger with some ointment on it as well. Peter dug into it like in The Last Man Standing, and then they gave me the same thing, and I don't eat a cheeseburger. I don't like the ointment they have on it, but I will try it because it's the beginning of the summer.
Don, this is
summer
pretty impressive.
Okay.
This is a big burger with cheese, ointment, onions. It's a real thing, and Kay's going to try it. We've never seen this before.
Well, he's had ketchup before. He lost a bet early back.
I don't mean the ketchup.
The ketchup's not on it.
Ketchup's on the side, Don.
It's ointment.
It's actual, like, it's a like a white cream.
Yeah.
Mayonnaise?
I'm not sure. Could be aioli. Could be mayo.
Oh, it's probably aioli because this is a high-end place.
But Don, don't even look past the cheese and the onions. He doesn't do that on burgers.
No, I like onions on burgers.
Oh, you do? Just not cheese.
I've never had American cheese in my life.
See, Don, don't look past. This is a great start.
This is a good little first step for the summer, okay?
That's right.
Let's not make this out to be that big a deal. That thing now, looks absolutely fabulous. I hate – it's so weird that the things that look like punishment for Michael are just glorious to 99.9% of the population. The hamburger he just showed was glorious.
Oh, it's a beautiful burger.
Now, Peter's album over the weekend receiving a lot of critical praise.
Thank you.
But Peter's too cheap to give him away for free. So what we're doing – my book's coming out a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
And if – at my discretion, we're going to give away about three or four of them today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So this is going to be like, you get a book. You get a book.
I'm going to be Oprah. I'm going to be like Oprah.
I wish I could do that. Maybe I could do that with some albums, too. Although, most people have a streaming service, so it's basically free already.
True.
But, this is exciting.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten my copy, by the way.
You know what? I have one for you right
you
here.
You do?
Yeah. Let's go to the phones, though, more importantly. Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, talk to us.
Mike, John, and Peter, how you doing? Mike, I did buy your book. I have listened to Peter's album. I don't know where to get a Texas wiener, though, from Don. I'm still waiting
Don's
on that.
Don's getting that put together now as we speak, Cullum.
No, that's just how bad it is that they had to make up something lame. Because I can't compete with these big boys. You know what? We'll let you finish your point. this was the moment where I became number three on the show.
Oh, wow. Oh,
no.
Wow.
No, Don, this is a huge mistake, though, because this joke is going, and you do love Texas wieners. You should be working on the business right now.
Have your agent get a hold of Shot Right, and you put slap your face on some wieners.
But I don't know how to make the sauce. I don't want to put my face in wieners.
All right, Colin, what do you have?
So you pretty much said everything that needs to be said about the Yankees, Mike. So I'm not going to say all the negatives, and I'm not that negative type of person. I want to try to see what we can do with this current roster and this current Yankee team to try to still salvage it. And what I think is, this is what they've been talked about, the year of the pitcher, 2.0 and all that stuff, and how terrible we are at the base pass. Let's lean into that. I say we should go out and try to get a guy like Max Scherzer and maybe try to get to be an 88-90 win team, sneak into the wild card, and then if we have by far the best pitching staff, anything is possible in the playoffs. But also, yeah, I don't see us going out and getting anybody else to fix this batting, but maybe we get a guy something like Billy Hamilton or something like that where it fixes base pass problems, and he's definitely a high-level defender. I think we should just really go hard on pitching and defending, because I don't think it's possible to fix what we did with this offense.
Well, you can't fix the offense this year. They either have to hit home runs or they're not going to make the playoffs. So I don't know if you can flip a switch and make them do it, but they either have to return to the back of their baseball card. The Yankees have no chance. In terms of getting a Scherzer, the Nationals aren't out of it yet. And again, the whole tax threshold thing hovers over it. Are you going to go over the tax threshold for a team that is not playing well? What has this team done that Hal Steinbrenner could go over the threshold? Do they seem like they're close? No. They just don't.
And that doesn't guarantee to solve your problem. Like the caller said, like lean into your situation. All right, you had another stud starter, but if your offense is going to stall, Michael, I don't know how much that's going to really guarantee anything. That's a lot to give up for a player that you're either going to have to give a lot of money to at the end of the year or let walk in free agency. And I don't think it even comes close to guaranteeing you even sneaking into the playoffs.
No, because
you've got one of the best pitchers in baseball. You're 6-6 in the starts that Cole makes. Cole's the second best pitcher in baseball, and you're .500 in his starts. So what does Scherzer guarantee you?
Yeah, the Yankee pitching is fine right now. It's not a pitching problem, and yesterday was the first rehab start for Severino. He's throwing 98 miles an hour, so that could be the pitcher you acquire. Again, what I would do, yeah, I try to go out and get a left-handed hitting center fielder. I really would. Because, I mean, just for the balance of the lineup, and I don't think that you can run Brett Gardner at 37 years old out there all the time. And I would do that. But otherwise, I'd just leave it be and let's see if they can hit, because they're built to hit. Nick and Weehawken. Nick.
Hey, Michael, thanks for letting me on. I got a couple points, and you actually just made me think of a question at the end. My problem is that Cashman basically put this team in a hole. He gave himself no options with this money situation. He's not going to go to Hal for more money. And he put together a lineup that's one-dimensional. How many different lineups are we going to see throughout the course of the year? I saw a stat the other day. It was like 55 in 60 games or something like that.
And well, I mean, when they won 103 games, it was like 158 lineups and 162. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. I think Boone's trying to find the right combination. It's just not there. If no one hits other than Judge, you can juggle them whichever way you want.
Right. And to the point about not hitting, do you think that every player is catered to this analytic hitting home runs or nothing approach? Like, I feel like we have guys that were hitting, you know, doubles, gap to gap, in the past that just aren't doing it anymore, you know?
And yeah, like LeMay.
I would say Miguel Andujar was like a line-to-line guy, you know? Frazier was a line-to-line guy. He wasn't necessarily home run or bust.
Well, Frazier and Andujar of late has come on. I mean, he's closing in on 250. You'll take that. He looks okay. Frazier is still under 200, which I don't understand. And, you know, the Yankees built a team that they thought was going to hit 300 home runs and damn the defense. It's not a good defensive team. It's just not. Gleyber's better at second than he is at short, but he plays shortstop. First base is not a real good defensive position for the Yankees. The corner outfield, if Judge isn't there, is not a good defensive position. Catcher has not been great for the Yankees. So They have to slug their way to the playoffs. And if they're not going to slug their way, they're not making the playoffs. Right now, if the season ended today, they would not be in the playoffs. It would be the Red Sox and I believe it's the Blue Jays. I know the Blue Jays are ahead of the Yankees. I don't know if there's a team in the Central or the West that might be ahead of them, but the Yankees would not be in the playoffs today. Let's go to
punch
Pete.
Punch that up quickly.
What was that?
I said I can punch that up quickly for you. The wild card situation in the American League, Boston and Houston, with Cleveland and Toronto ahead of the Yankees.
Yeah. So it's a big, big, big bit of heavy lifting right now. But, you know, I don't think they're going to continue to lose 10 out of 13 games. You know, the competition will go down. Let's see what they do against the Twins in Minnesota. Let's go to Pete in Brooklyn. Pete.
Pete?
Michael,
Pete?
Enjoy that burger. It looks glorious.
I'm going to try.
Two quick things. With regard to Boney, I don't need him getting thrown out last night. I mean, the guy's had a pacemaker put in. He needs to be thrown out twice in a week. I mean,
right.
He should probably spread that out a little bit. But more importantly, you and I have gone back and forth on the analytics, you know, over the last couple of months. I personally don't get it. I don't know why they switched. You know, you often mention that the whole league, all of baseball is doing it. Mm-hmm. Still doesn't tell me why, you know, especially there was a proven formula. But anyway, I was going through the roster last night, and obviously it's monumentally unfair to compare this roster, you know, with the glory days of 96 to 20 to 2001, which Cashman was obviously a part of. But if you go position by position, there are only four guys on this roster, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. Cole, LeMahieu, Chapman, and Judge. But I think would have even made that roster.
I think you're right.
And like we're holding this roster to some, you know, expecting these lofty, exorbitant, oh, yes, we've got another juggernaut. Do we?
But one thing, though, Pete, to be fair, okay? I mean, we have to be fair. And right now it's easy to criticize them. You're comparing them to one of the great dynasties that have been built over the last 40 years in baseball.
Absolutely.
So there aren't,
and it's unfair. And baseball was played a different way. Like, everybody on that team made sense because it was a cohesive team. Like, O'Neill fit for a whole bunch of reasons. Pino fit and Brocious fit for a whole bunch of reasons. Mm-hmm. Whereas you look at this roster, they're all the same, you know, slow pitch softball, feast or famine, swing or miss kind of guy. You know, now they're talking about bringing in another right-handed bat, Trevor Story, great, you know, which I think would just be putting a, you know, a Band-Aid on a broken arm.
And you know what? If you bring in Story, you know all the problems that causes? Because then you move, and we thank you for
bunch.
The phone call. You move Gleyber over to second. That means you have to move LeMahieu over to first. That means Luke Voit is out. I mean, he'll probably just be a bench player. Brugnet Odor is out. I mean, they wouldn't have any maneuverability whatsoever. So the bottom line is they'd all be out. I don't know if Trevor Story's not a great year either. That's not what they need. They don't need another right-handed bat. They need a left-handed bat. The lineup is much too right-handed heavy. It just is. And that has nothing to do. I'm not even talking about the short porch and right. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about balance. They don't have balance in their lineup. And, you know, Brian always wants big, hairy monsters in the lineup. Well, the big, hairy monsters aren't scaring anybody. They're not hitting home runs. So the formula works if they hit home runs. For some reason, they've stopped hitting home runs. Is it the dead ball? Is it the excessive spin rate that people have because of the sticky stuff? Now, be careful what you wish for, because if they eliminate the sticky stuff, does that mean that Yankee pitching will also go down?
Can I ask the question, why is baseball the only sport where it seems like these things that sound like they'd be from 100 years ago would never happen anymore continue to happen, like sticky stuff? How is that still a thing? I'm watching guys go into the belt and the brim. It feels like it would be 1955. I don't understand how it reoccurs.
Because you don't want to know the answer. Because the sport is run poorly. Period. You cannot have a sport where the ball is in question, where players are cheating and you can't do anything about it. Peter, the sport is run poorly. Now, does that mean I'm attacking Rob Manfred? No, I mean that just the structure of the union and the owners and the way they can't get along with each other, but just the idea that the ball, Peter, can be in question.
That's what I'm saying.
How does
that
happen?
In question.
How does that happen? The pitchers can actually be fooling people at historic levels. And now, in the middle of the season, now they might be able to try to do something about it. And the only reason they'll actually accomplish it is because the union agrees. Because if the union didn't agree, Michael, they wouldn't be doing it.
All right.
Hold on, Don. I'm gonna try the cheeseburger.
Wait, hold on. Let me set this up real quick. What? Michael has picked up the burger. It is a large double cheeseburger, two slices of American cheese, some onions, some peppers, some ointment, as he calls it, of some sort. Michael's never had American cheese, and here he goes. The summer of K begins with a large bite going through both burgers. He's chewing both burgers, including two pieces of cheese, some sort of mayo or sauce. I'm not sure what it is. I don't see any grimace on his face whatsoever right now. I honestly do not, Don. I'm curious to hear his reaction.
Please, let's hear the reaction.
Pretty good.
Wow!
I gotta say,
you're enjoying it.
I just cannot believe this is the animal we work with. Okay, and when I say animal, I'm just like lowest common denominator, just trying to figure something out. That this gets the treatment. I mean, Peter's got the phone out. Drum roll. Play-by-play, Peter. It's amazing that Michael and I do play-by-play for a living, and Peter is the one that always does the best play-by-play on the show itself. At the same level you eating crickets got.
I know.
Think about that. You eat crickets at the same level of Michael biting into an unbelievably gorgeous, delicious hamburger. Give me a break. Well,
but, Don, don't focus on the negative. The bottom line is he wouldn't do it before, and I just watched him enjoy it. Well, I'm starting to believe the summer of K could be real.
This is clearly a baby step into the summer of K.
I think I'm running full bore.
I don't know. I agree with you. If he continues to eat this burger during the break, to me, that's showing me something.
Wow. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer like I tried this burger. 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. Now, we had our meeting today, Peter. Don does have a list.
Don, you have a list?
I do.
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, so that's when we come back, and we'll get right back to your phone calls at the top of the hour as we try to solve the world of the Yankee problems. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, a burger and you, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody! It's me! I'm back! And guess what? It's another Don segment!
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don!
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right. I thought about this with Harden leaving the court early on Saturday against the Bucks, and the Net fans are hoping that this team will make the list at some point. Top five teams that overcame a major significant injury and still win the championship.
Want me to go?
Yeah.
1978 Yankees lost Willie Randolph.
Not even in consideration.
Jerk.
Oh, listen, you lost your second baseman. You had won the championship the year before, went to the World Series the year before that. Yeah, it was a significant player, but who are you taking out?
Well, I got to see who you have in.
How about the Philadelphia Eagles and the Super Bowl of 2017.
Oh, what a great poll, Peter. And I'll under much debate and deliberation, it's number one. And the reason I say it's number one is Carson Wentz was on his way to the MVP. He was going to win the MVP of the league and got hurt in the Eagles' 13th game in week 14. And then Nick Foles comes in and the rest is history, defeating a favored New England Patriots team. I've got the Eagles at one, but it was really, really difficult between the Eagles and who came in second.
I have the one who came in second. The 1990 yes. Giants, Phil Sims.
That's right. And the only difference is I'm not sure, as good as Phil was, Phil was having the season that Wentz was having in 2017 for Phil in 1990. But he got hurt in also week 14 of the season for the Giants, and then Jeff Hostetler came in. And then did the rest. So that's one and two. The 90 Giants, two. The 17 Eagles, one.
I'd like to ask for what sports are involved in the Final Three.
I've got the other three sports represented. We've got hockey, we've got baseball, and we've got another football one. Hockey, I'll give you a hint. Baseball. When one of them did come back very late in the season but missed almost all of a historic season.
Missed almost all of a historic season and then came back for the championship run.
Barely.
Is that baseball?
No.
Well, I don't know if you'd count this. Willis Reed? 69 Knicks?
No. Who are you taking out?
I don't know who's in.
But that's a good poll, Michael. That's a good poll. Although he did he did have his moment there.
So no basketball made the list, though?
No basketball made the list, no. Because basketball is tough, right? Because how often does a team win when they lose somebody that significant?
Well, if the Warriors had won without Durant, then you'd have to say that.
Right.
But they didn't.
If your if was a spliff, we'd all
If a man could be two places at one time, I'd be with you. Tomorrow and today. Beside you all the way. Go ahead.
How famous is the hockey one?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's one that you should know.
Did Ovi miss anything?
It would be a Penguin one.
Oh yeah,
but Sid didn't miss any of those.
No,
the Mario come.
No,
they didn't win the year Mario came back. I don't know. I guess I'm forgetting a Mario comeback for the Penguins.
No, not a Mario comeback, but you know it was fairly recent. It was the 2015-16 Penguins. Marc-Andre Fleury post-concussion syndrome after an amazing second half of the season. And then Matt Murray had to come in to replace him. Fleury did play game 5 of the conference final and lost, but Matt Murray picked up the slack and they won the championship over the San Jose Sharks. I've got Marc-Andre Fleury and the Penguins at number 5.
And they're both gone now.
I got one.
Well, they're still with us, but not on their.
Well, yeah, with us. Just not pissed.
How about Bob Greasy and the undefeated Dolphins?
Oh, you know what, Michael? That's a great poll, and that's 3. Now, Greasy did come back in the second half of the championship game and played in the Super Bowl, but he got hurt in week 5, and yet Earl Morrill was able to keep the team undefeated 6-14, and in the first half of the whole divisional round game, first half of the championship game, and then in the second half, Greasy was able to come back and then win the Super Bowl. But the fact that it was a perfect season in which their Hall of Fame quarterback only played in less than half of the games – I had to put it at number 3. And how ridiculous is this, guys? This could be another list of just how stupid sports used to be. Because they rotated the division to get the championship game, the undefeated Dolphins had to go to Pittsburgh in the championship game. How ridiculous is that?
It's wrong.
Wow, that's I didn't realize that. I never would have known that.
And this also would have been on your list if it wasn't for the choking Colts. Then, you know, Morrill started and Unitas came in the Super Bowl 3, but they lost.
So baseball, huh, Don?
It's a baseball one.
What era?
Within the last decade.
Oh, that's 10 years, Peter.
I know. I'm aware. Major injury.
I think it belongs on the list, considering how important the position is, how good he was at the time.
So it's.
And it's close to my family's heart.
Close to his family's heart.
Close to your family's heart. The 9 Mets?
He said decade.
Yeah, the Mets were the World Cup, but I had to win the championship, too. They didn't
that
win
was 2015.
Oh, so it's the San Francisco Giants. It's San Francisco Giants.
That's right.
Okay, so who did they lose?
Got bad news for you. If you don't figure this out, this group, this side over here isn't figuring it out.
All right. I don't know.
Buster Posey.
No. Brian Wilson, one of the best closers at the time, had Tommy John surgery early in the season, elbow injury in April. Sergio Romo had to take over, and the San Francisco Giants won the championship in 2012 without Brian Wilson as their closer. So I have the 16.
You know how Don always says, who are you taking out?
Yeah, that one.
For what, though? For Willie Randolph?
Yeah, Willie Randolph was huge.
Oh, come on.
He was an important player for the Yankees. Brian Doyle took over. And should have won the MVP if it wasn't for Bucky Dent. Come on.
So is he as important as a closer?
Yes.
All right, we can argue.
The Daily Don, you moron!
The Daily
Don. What do you
Don.
Think it is?
Lots going on.
Anthony Griggs says, how about the 2001 Patriots losing Bledsoe and having Brady take them to the Super Bowl?
That's a pretty good one. At the time, think about that.
Yeah, so I'm taking that out, too.
So you're saying his is out twice already?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's sad.
Pretty much. All right, Don, excellent. Excellent. Really excellent.
I enjoyed that, Donald.
We'll have another one tomorrow. I don't think it wasn't that good that you get a book, but it was good. Am I right?
Oh, you don't think this is a Daily
got the
Don list book?
No.
No.
Anybody who performs at a high level today gets a book, a center stage book.
Oh, got it.
But usually it has to be callers, or if Don had a great list.
You're not awarding him a book.
No.
Well, he already bought one, and he already got one in the mail.
I already bought one, yeah, exactly, so I'm covered.
He doesn't need a third book.
But now he could give it to his sketchy neighbors.
I was thinking, at the park near our house, the local Cub Scout troop built this box where you can put books and people can kind of return them. I'm going to put my second copy of that in there.
Oh, love it. That
Beautiful.
Sounds good.
Beautiful.
All right, let's take a brief time out, get back to examining the Yankee situation. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg and you on Yes, a 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. And now we go to Diamond Notes on the Michael K. Show. Brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. No, we're not going to just concentrate on the Yankees' horrendous homestand where they were 2-5, losing to their two division rivals. But we cannot lose sight of the fact of what the Mets are doing on a team that is truly decimated by injuries. Truly decimated by injuries. I mean, big-name players that are going to help them, that should help them, that were supposed to help them, and somehow they're getting it done. And, Don, I got to tell you, after they lost the first two games in San Diego's a good team. I said, well, this could be their comeuppance. They've been playing lower-level competition. Phoenix, or the Diamondbacks, they should take care of. They took 2 out of 3. Then they lost the first two against the Padres. Coming back and winning the next two, Don, that showed me something. Padres are good. Padres are a legitimate playoff team. And the Mets are doing this. They are really doing it with Mira. Stroman with a great start last night or yesterday. And then the day before, the amazing, otherworldly Jacob deGrom. And I really believe that Luis Rojas has done a good job. He never gets too high, never gets too low. I think that the players respect him. He's made all the right moves. And the Mets are in good position because they will get those players back. And at this point, if their pitching holds up, bottom line is I think they're better than the Phillies, and I think that they will outlast the Braves as well if they continue to play with this kind of intensity. I've been really impressed.
No, you have to be. And outside of the 0-for-4 yesterday, Lindor's been good, McCann's been good, so they're starting to warm up a little bit offensively. But Stroman's been great. He had a hiccup a couple of starts ago, but he's been good. And DeGrom is just unbelievable. I mean, a 0.62 earned run average, it's sick. And he gets stronger as the game goes on. And I haven't seen pitching like this since 84 Gooden, really. And I unfortunately was not alive or too young to remember Seaver when he was at his absolute best. But this is the level we're talking about here, Michael. And we'll see if he's somebody that maybe has been benefiting from doctoring the ball, although all of his teammates have come into his defense and said, guarantee he's not doing it, which, you know, they're his teammates, what are they going to say? But Peter,
when you look at his numbers, when you see how well everyone's playing, and you see that even DeGrom he's always Jacob DeGrom, but we would agree he's even a better DeGrom this year than before. It's hard not to think that it's a that this sticky stuff couldn't be involved in everything.
The point, too, is that he's just not doing it with his slider. He's getting strikeouts with his fastball, too.
Right.
Again, I don't know if the sticky stuff helps there.
It does.
They've got to come up with a cooler name than sticky stuff.
Well, you know what? The spin rate increases with the sticky stuff on your hand, and that makes the fastball seem faster. And there was also a video of DeGrom looked like he was reaching inside his belt. And I got to tell you, Don, I know there is teammates that they were too fervent in their defense of him. Leave it alone. Nobody's ever accused him of being a spin rate guy. He just has exceptional stuff. Let them try to catch him. If he doesn't have it going on, that's the proof. Instead, they all came out on Twitter. It was too much for me. It was over the top.
No, you're right. But here's the thing, is that it just stinks that this if this is going on, that it's going on, because this is such an historic season for him. And you'd hate to see it, you know, get thrown away because of the fact that he might have been cheating. And if he is, well, then he doesn't deserve the accolades that he's getting. None of these pitchers do then. But it would just stink that it would be another example of something great happening where now, instead of celebrating it, we've got to look back at it and go, well, it's Fugazi, like we did with all those home runs with McGuire and Sosa, right? It would just be a shame. So I hope it's not true, but how can you not put him among all the other pitchers, right? Because it's ungodly what he's doing. I hope he's doing it legitimately, but we're going to find out if they're going to crack down, because forget about Michael, whether it's been Fugazi or not, they can't afford to lose him. You know, so if he ends up getting suspended or whatever because of doctoring the ball or getting thrown out of a game early, you know, it could really cost them their season. So I hope it's not happening for a bunch of reasons. But the main was they can't really afford to have him not pitch at the level that he's pitching, because they're going to need him.
Well, how quickly do we expect that Major League Baseball?
2 weeks.
It's a two-week investigation?
No. In 2 weeks, the umpires will have the right to check pitchers 10 times a game when they're coming off the mound, check their hat, check their belt, check their glove, wherever. And the thing that makes this unusual is that the other players, the hitters, they're snitching. They're sending stuff to Major League Baseball and said, this guy does it this way, this is where you find it. And they know it's going to affect their pitchers too. But I had never heard any inclination, any kind of rumor, Don, about DeGrom. And that's why the steroid situation in baseball was a joke too, because it implicates absolutely everybody, even those that don't do it. And that's what's wrong. I don't think that Jacob DeGrom should be stained by this. Let's see who gets caught, who doesn't get caught, who has a big drop in their performance if they stop using this stuff. We'll see. Well, and I think it's smart for Major League Baseball to finally do it.
And take these 2 weeks to wean yourself off of it, I guess, right?
Right.
Or do you take advantage of having 2 weeks to be able to get as much as you can out of it? But to me, this is not like steroids where there has to be testing and all that. They're going to get caught. You're going to find out who's doing it and who's not. And you'll just and the guys that stopped and were benefiting from it, you're going to see the numbers change. And we're going to find out. I mean, DeGrom can't hide from it, right? If all of a sudden his numbers in 2 weeks start to go way up, we're going to know. So if I were a pitcher, Michael, I think I'd take these next 2 weeks to wean myself off of it and try to learn how to pitch without it, rather than get myself caught.
Oh, if I was a pitcher, I'd do it for the next 2 weeks until the day they say they're going to start checking.
This is
just get that ERA really low, and then
so this
come
is
hit
like,
me, baby.
This is like, you know, you're getting sent to rehab in 2 weeks. Are you the kind of person who weans yourself off or says, I'm going out with a bang?
But I see the benefit. I see what Michael's saying, Peter, because every game is important. So try to get whatever you can. But how is it going to look? Like if you stop now and the numbers gradually go up, you could say, well, his numbers were going up before they started to check. Whereas if you just all of a sudden, and then your next start after they start to check, you give up like 5 runs in the first inning, you're going to get really exposed. Listen, DeGrom's a great pitcher, and Cole's a great pitcher. I think the great pitchers are still going to be great pitchers, but you're probably not going to get the history that you've been getting. And one of the things they're hoping to cut down on is the number of strikeouts.
But, Don, isn't that in itself disappointing? So what you're saying is you think that there's a decent chance that even the absolute two best and most talented pitchers in baseball decided to jump in on this sticky stuff?
I have no – first of all, there's never been an implication that Jacob DeGrom has done it. The first thing that we get out of Gerrit Cole is that Josh Donaldson said this weekend that isn't it interesting – the last start that Gerrit Cole made, he didn't pitch well. He gave up 5 runs in 5 or 6 innings. And, you know, everybody's spin rate is available. It's, you know – you can see it. And he said, isn't it interesting that the the day or the week that four minor leaguers got suspended for doing this for 10 games apiece, all of a sudden Gerrit Cole's spin rate went down. It's kind of unfair for Donaldson to say that. He could have just had a bad game. I have no idea. But, you know, let the proof be in the pudding. Catch somebody before you implicate them publicly like that.
But the problem, just like steroids, Peter, it comes down to where everybody gets lumped in, right? So maybe Jacob deGrom is not doing it, and he's, like, legitimately this unbelievably good. But, you know, if all of a sudden the numbers start to change, even if it just, hey, guys, we're kind of catching up to him. I mean, listen, nobody in the history of baseball has ever had an earned run average under one for an entire season. You know, so he's having – so there's a very good possibility that he'll start to get hit as the season goes on just because you can't keep this pace up. But I'm sorry, during the steroid era, for the most part, everybody who hit a lot of home runs were all lumped into the same group.
Isn't it funny, though,
John? He'll probably get lumped in, too.
If he has just a simple correction to the mean, a return to the mean, then everybody's going to say, well, he cheated. It's not fair.
No, it's
not
fair.
But again, these players put themselves in this position because they're trying to gain an edge. And, you know, this is kind of like pitchers on steroids without the health concerns. Think about
right.
that. All you're doing is your hand's getting rough.
Let me ask a question, though. Is baseball the most cheatingest sport there is? It feels like it. It feels like the sport where if everyone at every part of the game will try to get the advantage.
I think all sports, they try to get an advantage, but I guess in baseball it just becomes more public. I don't know.
Or there's more little things you can do in baseball?
There's always been stories of different things. Like I read something, it was a long time ago, like in NASCAR, there'd be some cars that were set up that had something that could just all of a sudden become loose on your car so they can get a caution when they needed it. You know, You've seen different things in hockey. There's one, I think it was in Buffalo, where there was a security guard that would sit by the Zamboni entrance, Peter. Mm-hmm. And so whenever a puck was rimmed around the boards, the security guard would push the board out so that the puck would then be directed in front of the net. You know, and he wouldn't do it, obviously, when the other team was trying to do it. Like little things like that. But Peter's right. I've never – baseball, it's super pinkies in the bat. It's the, you know, the Gaylord Perrys with the spit balls and the Vaseline balls and all that. And now, you know, the cheating, stealing, the signs, even going back to the shot heard round the world that the San Francisco, the then New York Giants had a telescope out in the center field. It seems like baseball's got either more ways or just more imagination when it comes to cheating.
Those are Diamond Notes brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Now, maybe some of the great performances by pitchers has led into what's happening with the Yankees. Yankees simply can't hit. This is a team that's built to hit home runs. You know, we've talked to Aaron Boone before on the air. It's hard to string together hits, so they live and die with the three-run home run. That has not been the case with them. The home runs they hit, I believe I read a stat on Friday, that 70% of the Yankees' home runs have been solo shots. So that's not a good thing. They're not hitting nearly the home runs that they have in the past. I think they're 8th or 9th or 10th in baseball. They always used to be breaking records, hitting 300 home runs. If that doesn't happen, this team will not win. Now, are they not hitting home runs because they're all collectively having a bad year? Is the pitching just so overwhelming that it's impossible to hit home runs? Don't know the answer. But if the Yankees don't start hitting with their limited ability to go line to line and create runs, they're not making the playoffs. Right now, as we speak, they're in fourth place in the American League East. They're in fourth place in the American League East. And if it wasn't for the Orioles having that 14-game losing streak, they'd have to be worried about sinking there as well, but the Orioles are 10 games back. So the bottom line is this. Either they hit home runs or they're not making the playoffs. And if they suddenly have to change their approach, I don't know if you could do that in June. I don't know if you could change your approach in June. I don't know if Brian Cashman can turn around the roster in a hurry where you can, you know, reinvent the Yankees. The Yankees are built on bullpen, decent starting pitching, great bullpen, and lots of home runs. And the lots and lots of home runs are out. The starters have been better than they thought they were going to be, and the bullpen has been outstanding. But a couple games, though, bullpen's faltered a bit.
Yeah.
So have they been used too much? These are all things. It's kind of a domino effect. And, I mean, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. Who's to blame? Well, the roster is constructed by Brian and his lieutenants. And you could sit here and you could blame Aaron Boone. He's the front guy. That's why he's the guy who gets paid the money to be the manager. Bottom line is, he can only do so much with the roster that he has. This is a roster that does not have a lot of maneuverability. You've got a lot of players that they insist on resting constantly so that they don't get hurt. So the maneuverability is cut down even more. They just don't have great speed. They're not a great defensive team. There's a lot of things that's gone wrong with this team, and I don't think you could correct it on June 7th.
Yeah. Well, they can't win when they give up more than five runs, right? Just they haven't done done it all year. And they've got to find a way to string it together. And they did last night, Michael. They didn't home run. They scored four runs. They almost won a game, right? They're a hit away from winning a game without the benefit of the home run. So it can be done. You can string some hits together if you want to, right? So it's them trying to hit the home runs, but I don't know how you change it. Even if you fired Aaron Boone, how much would really change? Because I don't think they'd bring in somebody like a Buck Showalter. I don't think they'd bring in a Bruce Bochy. They'd bring in somebody that is going to listen to how the team is going to be run. So I don't think you're going to see anything major change there. And changing the general manager, well, what can that general manager do in the middle of a season? You've got a lot of immovable pieces here. And plus, there's only a handful of teams that are completely out of it. Yeah, Max Scherzer is somebody the Nationals most likely will deal at some point. But right now, they're still in it. They're not going to make that deal in June. They might make it in August. Far out of it.
It's not their issue. They have no left-handed. The Yankees have historically been built on left-handed hitting, right? The left-handed hitting on this team, 37-year-old Brett Gardner, Rougned Odor, who was released by the Texas Rangers, who are paying big money for him not to play for them, and Tyler Wade. That's the left-handed hitters on the Yankee team. So, Brian had always had me convinced that, I'd rather have a good right-handed hitter than accept less of a left-handed hitter. Well, my reply to him now would be, you should have gone out and found better left-handed hitters, because the ballpark is built for left-handed hitting. And even if it's not about the ballpark, the fact that this lineup is so easy to pitch to, because they have so many lanes of right-handed hitters where Aaron has no answer for the Tampa Bay Rays and Kevin Cash bringing in a Pete Fairbanks. All of those right-handed pitchers that they come in out of the bullpen, they match up for six batters in a row against the Yankees. There's no way for Aaron Boone to actually counter with anything. Again, very little maneuverability. And I got to give A-Rod credit last night. I don't know how much of the game you watched. He really went up and in. I mean, he said it all that a lot of people have thought, and he said it on national television, and I'm sure it didn't please Brian Cashman, but he said this team is not constructed the way great Yankee teams were in the past. Look at the last dynasty. You had Tino. You had O'Neill. You had a switch hitter like Bernie. You had guys that could do the job from the left side that were scary, even when they weren't winning championships. Jason Giambi was there. You don't have a lefty threat in the lineup, which is hard to believe. Well, it's absolutely impossible to conceive that the Yankees have been constructed this way, so right-handed heavy, that it's easy for a right-handed bullpen to neutralize them.
And also, to the third part of it that a lot of fans don't seem to grasp, is the players have to take responsibility too. Because remember, Brian Cashman built this team for guys to be able to play to the back of their baseball card, and they haven't. They bring back LeMahieu. Michael, he's a shell of himself.
Yep.
And it seems like every time there's a big spot, he's the guy that's up and he grounds out. He's batting .253. This is a guy that was consistently over .320. This was the MVP of the team the last 2 years, and he's given you nothing. I thought Gleyber Torres was going to be the next superstar in this sport. He's not. He's not hitting home runs. He's not nearly the player that they thought that they had a couple of years ago. All right? Sanchez obviously is not what they thought. Frazier was supposed to be a tremendous piece. Where is he? Andujar, which is a doubles machine a couple of years ago. The guy's batting .235. So even the guys that were brought here to do certain things, they're not doing it. The players are not living up to their expectations either, because if they did, Michael, then I think that they would be a little better situation. Still a flawed team, not constructed nearly as well as it should be, but still the players are not playing to the best of their ability either. Judge is really the only one.
Judge has played very well. You can't take anything away from Judge. He's answered the bell. He's played in more games than anybody. I mean, what more do you want the guy to do? He hits home runs. He hits for average. He has a high on-base percentage. He doesn't drive in as many runs as other guys around the majors because those situations are not available. One other thing that the Yankees should be concerned about when they look at this team and the way it's presented. Look at all the teams around baseball. There are great, young, energetic, athletic players that scare you, that can do things that you just don't do. The San Diego Padres. Where's the Yankees' Fernando Tatis Jr.? Look at the Blue Jays. They've got loads of these players, athletic players, that can steal bases, that play good defense, that hit for average, that are exciting to watch. Where is it? The White Sox. Take a look at the White Sox with all their good young players. And two of their best young players are actually on the IL. And when they come back, they're going to be even better, exciting, athletic. Look at the best teams. Look at the Braves. Where's the Yankees' Ronald Acuna Jr.? Where's their Ozzie Albies? Where is it? And you can say, well, 4 years ago, that was the Baby Bombers. Yeah, but the Baby Bombers were just that. They were Baby Bombers. They were not the athletic people that could steal the base and play the great defense because the Yankees were built around the three-run home run. They did not build around athletic players. Where are those players? Look at the Dodgers. All of these athletic players that are interchangeable, that could play different positions. Where are the players on the Yankee roster? Where are the players in the Yankee system that, I mean, the one guy we always hear about is Jason Dominguez. He's 17 years old. He's not going to be in New York for five more years. There's nobody that's really close that will just, like, pop your eyes out and go, wow, what an athlete. They don't have that sort of team. And it's not, I don't think it's by a mistake. They wanted to build around big guys that hit home runs, damn the defense, damn the speed, damn the hitting line to line. And I think it's caught up with them now. But,
see, that's the thing that's got to frustrate you because the Yankees have all of the same brain trust, the money in scouting, the international money to acquire and draft and cultivate the players that all those organizations you just mentioned, the San Diegos, the Atlantas of the world, they can do that. They have the ability to do that. They know what they're doing as far as acquiring players and drafting players. The problem is they're turning these athletes into robots, into home run robots. That's what they're turning them into. Because they're convinced that that's the way to win.
Well, and if you want to see why they hit into double plays, they hit into double plays. It's easy for right-handed hitters to hit into double plays. They're farther away from first base. They're all big guys that hit the ball hard. They don't run that well. So they do get traffic because people get on base, and then they hit into double plays because they hit hard ground balls. It's harder if you're a left-handed batter to hit into that many double plays. I'm missing a lot of lefty batters, too, that have helped the Yankees over the year. Strawberry. Matsui was the MVP of the 2009 World Series. On and on and on we go. And they're all playing out of position. Their shortstop should be at second base. Their right fielder is playing center. That's Judge. And Duhar is the third baseman. He's playing left field. Their catcher is really a DH. So, again, everybody wants to blame Aaron Boone. Everybody wants to blame Aaron Boone. Well, if you have Stanton locked into DH, that stops him from all maneuverability. Every single thing that you could maneuver cannot be maneuvered now because the roster is really kind of hamstrung. It's pigeonholed into a this is what we can put out here, and I have to squeeze these square pegs into round holes. All right, 1-800-919-3776. It's amazing how it turns so quickly because the Yankees swept a much better White Sox team. They swept them. So everything was right with the world. Then all of a sudden it fell apart. They lost three games in Detroit. Then they have this awful homestand. They've lost 10 out of 13 games, and they're in fourth place. We'll come back. We'll talk with you. 1-800-919-3776. This special edition of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Meiomi Wines, presenting sponsor of today's Victory Over Cancer Classic, benefiting the V Foundation for Cancer Research. K. LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well.
Yeah, just told Peter something that changed his life.
I mean, I don't change my life, but it's startling information. It's not startling.
No, it's not at all.
It's actually not surprising.
No, not a bit.
Text me.
No, you're not here. Too bad. You lose out.
I'll tell you, Don. Don't worry.
I had some stuff I had to do. Unfortunately, I do not live close, so I had to make a decision.
Oh, yes, you sure did, Don. It's a ways out here, buddy. For you, it would have been
I even got lost.
Days.
Oh, yeah. My GPS got lost.
Yeah, and the guy who drove me was lost as well.
All right, let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to David in New Jersey. David, talk to us.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, big fan, first time, long time.
Welcome aboard.
I got to talk about the Yankees, the analytics team. That's the main. I feel like that's the one to blame.
Well,
I got to say that. I think the Yankees just need a better analytics team. There's nothing wrong with using analytics, but look at the Rays, Dodgers. They've developed their own pitching through analytics. They have, like, the guys who can play multiple positions. They have guys who just not hit for power. They all hit for, like, average as well. Like, you know, so I think that's something that's lacking from Yankee side. Get someone from, like, Rays analytics front office, which are, like, you probably get paid, like, $75,000 a year. Just pay them double. Get, like, $150,000. Pay them, like, $200,000. And get, like, better analytics guys.
Mm. Well, you know, We thank you for the phone call, David. Here's the deal. And Don talks about this a lot, and he's right. You know, we're supposed to sit here and analyze. I don't know what the guys are that are on the computers. I don't know what they're looking for. I don't know who's better. All I know is whose result is better. And right now, the Tampa Bay Rays' result is better. And the Dodgers' result is better. But you're saying $75,000? They're going to Ivy League schools and pulling these guys out of Ivy League graduation class, paying $1 million to come work for them. I mean, the analytics guys makes a truckload of money. This is something that somebody inside has to know. This is something that Hal Steinbrenner has to realize, or Brian Cashman, if his analytics are not up to snuff. I don't know, because if these guys hit home runs, then you'd say the analytics were fine, because we've been saying for the last 3 years the analytics work perfectly. You hit home runs, you're going to win games. And that's the formula they worked off of. And they tried to find people that did that. Those people have stopped hitting home runs for whatever reason.
But it's about the analytics, and it's not about the analytics. Right? The way it's not about the analytics is everybody's doing it. But for some reason, it seems like the Yankees are over the top with it. And is it really necessary considering how high their payroll is? Like I said, everybody strikes out. The Rays strike out more than the Yankees do. But are they as reliant on the home run as the Yankees are?
Yes. But they also could do other things. They hit a lot of home runs.
But that's the point. When I say as reliant, they may hit as many home runs, Michael, but are they as reliant on it? I mean, I saw a Red Sox team win the game last night, Michael. It wasn't all just slugging home runs all over the place. It was timely hitting, getting doubles and getting base hits and making sure that they were, at the end of the day, the team that ended up scoring more runs. I mean, I watched the San Francisco Giants a lot, Michael, and they brought in an analytic team. That's why Bruce Bochy's not here anymore. That's why Gabe Kapler's their manager. They've got the best winning percentage in baseball, Michael, and they hit a lot of home runs, but they do a lot of other things well, too.
Yep. Red Sox did yesterday, Don. They got on when DJ LeMahieu, they got a double, two bases when LeMahieu couldn't make that catch. Then Alex Verdugo, who's like the number two or three batter in their order, simply hit a ground ball to the right side, moved the runner over to third, and then a sac fly. The Yankees never do that. They never situational hit. They never try to move the runner over. They're always trying to put the ball over the wall. That's the way they're programmed to play.
Because you know why? There are baseball teams out there where – analytics are their religion. To the Yankees, it's a cult. Like, the other ones, they go to church on Sunday. They say their prayers before they go to bed. For the Yankees, they're living it. It's Jonestown over there, for God's sake. Like, they are all in. Where other teams, Red Sox, Giants, they find other ways besides just the same old typical stuff. They think outside the box sometimes. They throw a bunt. They steal. They do something. When the home run's not there, they still find ways to win the game. So I think they're two in. So the analytics work, I get it, but there has to be a moment. The Dodgers did it too, where there's that moment where, you know what, we're gonna throw a lefty up against a lefty. We're going to have a hunch. We're going to try to move a runner over instead of just waiting for the home run. And then when it doesn't come, you're dead.
So a question for you guys. Do you believe, speaking right now on June 7th, that we are going to be looking at an off-season complete restructure of this team?
My guess is no. I don't think that's how Steinbrenner rolls.
I'm going to guess yes.
You think this is the year, Don?
Well, listen, Michael knows way more than I do as far as like inside conversations and everything. But we've gotten to know Hal, Peter, from having him on at the end of every season.
And every season you can hear how devastated he is that the team didn't win and how he hurts as much as the fans do. Peter, how do you finish in third or fourth place at the end of the season, and then Hal comes on and says the same thing again, and then you don't do anything about it?
See, but here's the variable, though, that you're not taking into account, whether it's as good or bad or indifferent. Brian Cashman is really like a quasi-member of the family. He's been there as long as I've been there, like over 30 years. I don't think it would be very easy for the Steinbrenner family to tell Brian it's time to go. I mean, maybe they might say, all right, trying to change up, you know, what you're doing, but I think that they would entrust Brian to do it. I don't know.
That's fair, too. I mean, I don't know if that's what Peter was saying when he was talking about how much change there was going to be. Because remember, there was a time where Brian was winning championships, and it wasn't all this. So maybe it's just having a heart-to-heart to say, listen, we committed to this. Maybe we overcommitted to it. Brian, we trust you. We believe in your baseball acumen. We have to come at this at a different approach. We've got to figure out a different way to do this. And, Brian, you did that 20 years ago. You were winning championships when nobody even knew about this stuff or cared about this stuff. So for whatever reason, he drank the Kool-Aid and believed this was the way to win. If he's truly a member of the family, Michael, you can't have a conversation with him and say, all right, we tried this. It's not working. We've got to try something else. You're still in charge. You're the person that's going to do it. But we've got to just figure out a different way. And then if Brian says, no, this is the way, well, then I'm sorry. Sometimes family members break up.
Or you break their legs like you did.
Well, that was an accident.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's go to Chris in Philly. Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, congrats, Peter, on the album. It's a banger. It's the old school New York hip-hop that we've been missing. And Michael, congrats on the book, too. And I just want to say that I think that maybe Don is a little bit jealous that you guys have so much going on, and that's why he has to come out with the hack takes on DeGrom.
Wow. What did I say about DeGrom?
To malign his character like that. And Michael kept trying to get you out. He kept saying, you know, oh, no one has ever implied that about DeGrom. He said it like three times trying to get you to age yourself. And you kept saying, oh, well, let's see what happens. Oh, let's see what happens with DeGrom. Blah, blah, blah. The Mets are the funnest team in baseball right now. They just split a series with the Padres with backups and AAA players, and they're fun. They're having a great time, and you're supposed to be the Mets guy.
What did I say?
About the Yankees for 2 hours.
What did I say? Will you tell me what I even said?
On the podcast, you were saying, oh, he's reaching for his belt. Oh,
I didn't say that. I did not say that. I did not say that. I did not say that. Michael said it. Get your act together, brother. Michael said it. I didn't say anything about the belt. Did I say anything about the belt, Peter?
No, I said there was a video on Twitter where
no
he was reaching.
No.
I said that there was a video on Twitter where DeGrom looked like he reached for his belt, and then all the Mets defended him. I said they shouldn't have done that because he's never been implicated in anything. No one ever thinks that he does that.
Yeah, exactly. And Don kept bringing it back. Oh, no, we'll see what happens. Oh, let's see what happens. He's
what
having a historic season,
yeah,
so you're
going
to have
like
to put an asterisk next to it. He's just maligning him for no reason.
You're talking about,
you're
Chris.
To be our Mets guy, Don.
I never said anything that you're saying. They are going to change the rules for spin rate. And you don't think that that people are going to look at the guy that's got a 0.62 earner on average? I never said he did a thing.
And no one has ever accused him of cheating. And it's been
I never accused him of cheating.
Of the league.
What did I say? You don't
look
even pay attention,
stats.
Chris. I think you're
now
simple.
You're
listen,
Cole.
I get
They're
it, man.
Ones.
You're in Philly. You don't understand. You're kind of far away. You don't, the signal probably cracks. You don't even know who's talking. But you accuse me of saying something that Michael actually said.
Hey, Chris.
What I said was that during the steroid era, when guys were hitting 50 home runs, everybody that home runs got lumped into the same boat. So if all, and I said the shame of it, if you listen to me, I said the shame of it with DeGrom was having this great season that if 3 weeks from now he goes out there and gives up three home runs in the first inning, what do you think everybody's going to say? Oh, all of a sudden now you can't doctor the baseball. It's unfair. I said it stinks that I'm watching an amazing season and now this poor guy's going to get lumped in with everybody else.
Michael said
not been one allegation, but Peter, he's got the best earner average we've seen in 100 years in Major League Baseball.
And
now they're talking about the spin rate, so you don't think by guilt by association
that now people are going to be looking to see if this earner on average goes up. And the shame of it is going to go up. Because nobody's ever had an earner on average as a starting pitcher with 30-plus starts that had an earner on average under one. And isn't it a shame that if it goes up, what do you think everybody's going to say? I'm defending DeGrom.
I did.
And you guys got I never had my back. The guy sounded like an absolute moron that couldn't speak. And you go, oh, sounds just like Don. Give me a. I'm glad you're not there. You put me a punch in the face.
We're trying to defend
you.
You won't even let Peter
radio,
speak.
It doesn't matter if I get
you
thrown
won't
on the
let
bus.
Peter
the guy
speak.
Has allegations. I'm okay. Watching on TV, sitting back laughing about it.
We're not laughing.
Oh, what
at
a great
anything.
Impression of Don.
Hold on.
Guy's a simpleton, and instead of backing me up, you throw me. And I listen. I say a lot of dumb things, and I say a lot of things that that people can rip me for. But a guy goes on, and you give him the airtime, and I never even said the things that he claimed
but
I said.
On. Michael was being sarcastic when he
said.
Oh
well, that worked
a lot
out for
like
him.
Don.
Also, I have no control over the phones. We're having a little situation, okay, Marconi? I have no control over the phones.
And also, what I was going to say was, and you may not like this. I actually did. I by no means think Don was saying what the caller said he was saying. I don't think Don was intentionally maligning DeGrom. I did think Don was implying that maybe it is true of DeGrom as well. That I'm just telling you that is how I heard it. I didn't hear it the way you're saying you think you portrayed it. So maybe it was just a misunderstanding.
Well, why don't we towel off, okay? I'm amazed, Peter, that you're not sweating through that expensive shirt.
Well, I took off the jacket already.
But still, I mean, you're hairy. You think that.
And guess
that
what? I'm gonna go putt a little bit here during the break.
Really?
Oh yeah.
So Don would have punched us in the face if he was here.
Well,
you
listen,
heard that?
I get it though, because we're here together. So naturally, when Don's having a moment like that, we're just doing sort of the brotherly thing of now starting to laugh because he's not here.
Dear right. God, so dear Don, Triad, it was so fabulous to drop you.
Right? So Don's just the odd man out. And we're just being jerks. So I don't think he's wrong.
No, I think he is. Anyway, we'll be back on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.